it must be considered as a very grave responsibility in which you are able to bring some addition, some contribution, or to help that person steer him or her affairs to the destination that God wants. And so this evening, I want to just, what I'm going to talk about this evening is almost like the part four, the part five, of the kingdom of God is here. And I want to be considering the nature and the purpose of the kingdom of God. The nature and the purpose of the kingdom of God. If you have the opportunity even now to send somebody a text message, share the link with somebody to join, still go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Now, I'm going to start off this conversation with a story which I was even sharing with your pastor a while ago. And it has to do with one of my cherished secrets. Somebody said the secret of a man is in his story. So you have to pay rapt attention to people's stories. As they tell their story, you discover how they came into making wealth, how they came into walking in what they walk in, and how God have spared them and given them grace and all. On that, I want to say this to ask you and encourage other friends, other church members, to make an investment into these online meetings. It's so important, and it has come to stay with us now and is the future. Next week, Monday, I'll be on Instagram Live with a friend who is based in Lagos, and we'll be discussing some of these things. So there's a story. The story goes, one Saturday, I woke up. Sorry if you hear any background noise, or it's raining here as I speak, and I'm hiding in one of the corridors in the house. So there's a bit of echo, but let's manage it. Some years back, I think 1998 or so, I happened to be watching TV, Metro TV Precise, in the morning, and they used to show Dr. Loris Tete. I've forgotten the name of his organization. Something, something evangelistic worldwide or something. So Lawrence Tete was preaching in Alive Chapel, Circle, Orion or so. In this video, it's a recorded video, not a live video. Recorded video, not a live video like we are engaging now. Lawrence began to, he preached. I can't quite remember the message he preached, but towards the end of his teaching or his preaching, he began to sing a song. And the song, some of you probably may know it. It's a secular song. It's one of the high life songs. And it goes like, Midowu sena uti biara, sene rade nyankopobo ubiara, mese midowu sena uti biara. So Lawrence himself was singing the song, and he went, pa-pam, 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 ta-na-na, ta-na. He was full of life and vigor. And it was so fun. You could hear this man singing something you consider as a secular song. However, God was in the midst of that, because you could feel him, you could discern his heart, you could perceive him, you could sense him. As he sang the song for some few minutes, he kept quiet. He had crossed his hand on his chest, and I think with his left hand, holding the microphone to his lips. When that was happening, when he had just kept quiet, suddenly I felt something come out of this video, something of eternal nature, of God, hit me whilst I was sitting on the floor, and I started shaking, literally, watching this video without Loris Tete in my room, but a recorded video. The following Saturday, I decided to continue and I watched the program again. Luckily for me, or per divine appointment, they were going to have the same video broadcasted. So I watched. When it got to the same spot, mine, I was struck again. Maybe this is the lightning of God or whatever. And I was shaking on the floor. I concluded that a deposit of God has been left in my life. I do not know whether I've manifested it already or part of it manifested or is going to be manifested tomorrow. But what I know is that I have had an experience of God that has shifted my life for good. And that experience nobody can take away from me. That experience is so unique and is so powerful. So I want to by this tell you that, listen, life is an unbroken continuum. Church services, church meetings are supposed to be an unbroken continuum that is hinged on what has gone before and that is informed by what lies ahead. That we embrace the finality of everything and the end of everything as God has planned it. So that we do not consider the online meeting as one of those meetings, but you come into this meeting with a lot of faith. You come into this meeting with a lot of passion. You come into this meeting stretching your faith and reaching out because God is going to affect your life regardless of whether you are prepared or not. So it will be better that you prepare yourself and give your heart. So, like I usually say, it's been an experience over the years of my life where I have noticed that when I speak in meetings, there are encounters, there are angelic activities that go out to begin to inform what God wants to do, what God wants to release in our midst and bring impact, and bring real impact. So I want to challenge you, release your faith, embrace this moment as moments as unusual, embrace it as part of the continuity of what we had in what we describe as in-person sitting meetings and all. Now, let's talk about the nature and the characteristics of the kingdom of God. For some of us, it's going to sound like a summary of what we've heard. And there's going to be deeper layers thrown into the nature and the characteristics of God. This is about the last part of the introduction into the kingdom I've been discussing with you. And if it's God's will and I'm back on the platform again, there are other important things I want to share with you as God has placed in my heart. And what is happening now? What is God's emphasis now? So the first thing about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is characterized or is possessed with the nature that it has a king. And this is a basic reality that we must never ignore in our dealings with God, in our dealings with mankind, in our dealings with everything we do. The kingdom of God has a king. Largely what has happened in our world is that we have separated the king from his blessings and his provisions and his opportunities that he grants to us. And that is grave. That does not allow man to actually live effectively. And I think you saw this from our discussion last week, where those men sent a delegation, a message after the king, and told him that we don't want this man, we don't want you to reign and rule over us. And it's essential that if man is going to succeed, that there is a need that we submit to the kingship of God. I've said this before, that many of us know the Lord Jesus, the living Lord Jesus Christ, as Jesus. Some people know him as Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one that brings healings and breakthroughs and all. Some of us know him as the living Lord. Some of us know him as the God that reigns and rules over us. That is one of the major things that some people know about him. But we all need to come to that place where he is both a king and he is both a living Lord. He is the Messiah to us. He is the Christ and anointed. So you can see right from our present history and maybe in your experience, some of the folks that you have met in your life, they are pursuing the anointed side of Christ. So they are heavily anointed, move in all kinds of manifestations, but lacks the government of Christ over them. They are not men of God, so to say. They are not giving to the fullness of the influence of the king. And that is important. So people are democratic. People are socialist. People are of the left side and of the right side, of an MPP, of an NDC, of that and of that. People have become a law unto themselves. But when you become a law unto yourself, the Bible describes it as lawlessness. And the Greek word is anomia. Anomia means to become a law unto yourself. It means that you are not governed by the king, but you are governed by your own set of rules and plans. And this is where we are confronted as well as believers. Are we submitted to the king? Is he king over us? Do we follow his dictates? Do we contest with his laws? Do we fight back? Do we try to posture, to try to analyze what he says and try to rationalize it? Rationality has become the order of the day and is impacting many lives wrongly. We need to move away from that and truly embrace the kingship of Christ. Churches, business people, business leaders, governmental leaders, politicians, very oftentimes would separate Christ and his rulership from his provision. And we need to essentially return to that place where he is truly king. So the first thing is that in the kingdom, there is a king. We've also established, and it comes here in this point as well, that the kingdom has a domain. Every king rules over a territory. Every king rules over a territory. And it's very interesting that the kingdom of God is not about physical land space or land mass or square meters or nautical miles and all. It was one of the reasons why the kings of the days of Jesus Christ got very confused. And even the Jews, and many Jews till today, they are looking forward to see a Messiah that will come, who will sit physically on the throne of David. Physically on the throne of David. But if you're interacting with a typical Jew, even a rabbi, and you start recounting from Matthew chapter 1, where it starts speaking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ and counting and going through every single detail, you would be amazed what you will come into. And that instantly begins to convict a Jew who is staunch, who is holding onto his position and believes that, well, this is the best and there is nothing you can come into. Suddenly they are confronted and will realize that this same Jesus that they are waiting for him to come is this same Jesus that have come and is gone. It is one of the best places to interact with the Jews. So we need to be the domain of Christ. He is not looking for a land space, but he's looking for the heart. Luke chapter 17, the verse 22. It says that the kingdom of God is not there, it's not here and all, but the kingdom of God is in your heart. The kingdom of God is in your heart. God is not looking for land space of Ghana, of Nigeria, of Liberia, of Germany and France and the rest. No, he's looking for the heart of man, because that is the essential thing. It is man that makes the existence of God's creation complete and beautiful. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that when God finished creating everything, and when if the Bible says it was beautiful, it was good. Then when man was created, then God said it is very good. Man is the caption over God's creation. So our hearts becomes the center point from which God reigns and rules. You can turn to a reference in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse 10, the verse 13 through 16. You can look at that. So it has a domain over which the king rules, and we call it the colony of heaven. You are God's domain. You are God's ambassador. I am God's ambassador. My heart, my life, my body, my spirit, my soul, the totality of me belongs to him, and I have no choice over my life. How I keep my body, how I maintain my spirit is so essential. Now remember that God does not have a body. Jesus no longer have a body. He is now spirit. Jesus needs to function in the earth. The Holy Spirit does not have a body. For the Holy Spirit to function in the earth, he needs you. He needs me. It is one of the reasons why he will heal your body. It is one of the reasons why he will touch your physical being. Because he needs that body to extend his operations and influence in the earth. He needs that. He needs that. All these patriarchs, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, were searching and looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, who the city of which the foundation has been built and made by God himself. Made by God himself. So you can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, the verse 10, 13 through 16. Now, the kingdom of God in its characteristics and nature has an administrative arm by which or through which everything on this earth is implemented. Everything on this earth is implemented. In that administrative body of the kingdom of God, we see administrative power, we see judicial power, we see executive governmental power and command. Let me repeat it again. In this administrative body of the kingdom, there lies administrative power to be able to administrate, put in place, hold things in place. There's judicial power, ability to legislate. There is executive power, ability to legislate, and there is judicial power, and there is power to enforce all of this. And this is called the Ecclesia of God. It is called the Church of God. Ecclesia, the definition is simply put, the call out ones. The call out ones. But to some extent, it's a sloppy translation or definition of the word Ecclesia. Let me just take just a brief moment and explain something about Ecclesia to you. The Ecclesia of God is actually a term. The word Ecclesia was borrowed from a political environment of the day. It is not a religious term, number one, but Ecclesia is a political word. So when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, upon this I would establish, build, extend my church. And that word there is Ecclesia. There is no time to do the etymology and show you why the translators of the Bible ended up putting the word church, like congregation, assembly. There is no time. But Jesus borrowed that term of the Ecclesia from the political power of the day. Now, the Ecclesia was considered as one of the most formidable, powerful entity that was attached to the Roman Empire. The Greeks also had their version of the Ecclesia of the time. The ecclesia was a body that surrounded the emperor of the day. The ecclesia, to some extent, was considered by theologians and researchers and commentators that such that they had unfettered power. They are able to set up magistrates, appoint rulers, remove them, stop a war, and start a war. They are able to legislate and go as far as taking territories for the kingdom of Rome. Now, history has it that when the Roman Empire established itself, it sent a group of people, about 300 families, when it conquered some of the territories around it, sent about 300 families to settle in those conquered territories, to begin to teach those territories how to dress, eat, and behave like the Romans. The Bible calls this, we are the ambassadors of Christ. It is an apostolic duty of functionality of the church. The church is not supposed to be stuck, but the church is supposed to be extending the influence of God over every jurisdiction of life. So the kingdom has a king, it has a domain. You and I, we are that domain, our heart. When the heart of man collapses, the kingdom is gone. If you are faithful, genuine people, kingdom-minded, loaded people, standing in an environment and leading things, you know that the kingdom will extend because they will apply all the principles of the kingdom there. But if these men are deficient and unscrupulous people, then you know that the kingdom is collapsed. Then the third thing we're saying is that the kingdom has an administrative, judicial, and executive governmental power and command center. That is called an ecclesia. It is the community and the family under God living powerfully. This family lives powerfully and at the same time stealthy. So let me give you a few more scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, the verse 18. Matthew 18, the verse 3. Acts chapter 19, the verse 39 and 41. Then 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15. Let me just back. I'll go over them again. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 15. Then Colossians chapter 1, the verse 18. Let me just go over them again. Matthew 16, 18. Matthew 18, the verse 3. Acts chapter 19, the verse 39 and 41. Then 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 18. The kingdom has an administrative, judicial, and executive power. That center is what we call church. There will be time to begin to discuss what the ecclesia is all about and much more, and how we can begin to deliberately craft and plan and design life for impact through the ecclesia. If the believer, if you and I begin to understand church in the context of ecclesia, it changes your attitude to church meetings. It changes your attitude to online meetings. I tell you sincerely, and I said it, was it here, or was it here last week or so? I said, many people don't know the reason why they attend church. Some think it's just for some breakthrough and they walk away. It is one of the reasons why people are shifting from one location to the other location. Many people have embraced something they call faith, but it's just purely consumerism kind of faith. It's just purely a consumer practice and attitude. It is all about me, I, you. How well did you enjoy this? What is trending? How does it fit in for me? But not about how God's kingdom has impact. So that when I walk into a church meeting or this kind of online meetings, I know it is one of those critical moments in my life to receive divine instructions for journey. It is like the moment of rest in the life of the children of Israel when they are journeying, when they were journeying through the wilderness. They come to this point where they rest a bit. If you study the book of Numbers, the Bible says that when the tabernacle was set, the pillar of cloud by fire by night stood over the temple, and by day as a cloud stood over the tabernacle, not temple. Now, when the cloud lifts, the people begin to move. Can you imagine that you settled somewhere? I heard, was it yesterday, that they've demolished some place in Jamestown? So just imagine you just settled some last year, December, you came back from America or somewhere, and then you just settle and you build this plush mansion because the cloud has settled and you are in a state of rest, and you build your nice swimming pool and you are able to do your backstrokes anytime you want. 12 a.m., 1 a.m., you just go swim and catch yourself and all. Then suddenly, this cloud that settled, with all your beautiful house and your Mercedes and everything you bought, the cloud began to lift. Now, you look into the book of Numbers, it never stated that the children of Israel, every now and then were told, get up, get up, get up, the cloud is leaving, and therefore let's leave. But clearly, when they settled, when the cloud lifts, the Bible says that there were two trumpets, two silver trumpets, and when Moses commands, the people begin to move. Everybody is watching for the cloud to leave. If we can begin to understand why we are born again, the essence, the bandwidth, the length and breadth of our experience in Christ, it will change your life for living for yourself. Some of us are living too much for ourselves. We are living too much for ourselves. We are just living for our comfort with total disregard for why God has placed me here. I challenge you this evening to begin to think like a kingdom believer, and you would understand that your marriage, your relationship, your going to church, your work, God did not give you that opportunity to be in that position simply because He wants to bless you with money and you are comfortable, you have nice cars, or you have a good job. Some of us will be able to step into new job environment, immediately we change our mind. Immediately we stop thinking about me, and start thinking about the kingdom of God. I am in this for God's kingdom. You are here for spite. God placed you here to disgrace the devil and to smash the system. So the kingdom of God has an administrative, judicial capacity, executive body, and it's called God's church. It's called the ecclesia. There is nowhere in the New Testament where Jesus Christ used the word church, the word itself, church, which comes from some Latin words and seki, secus. There is nowhere. The word Jesus used in the various different places, I've given you references, about four different places, the word that was used for church had to be ecclesia, and they were used in different forms. And that should speak to us as a church. Let me move further. The kingdom of God has a culture and has a value system. Very, very important. The kingdom of God has a culture and a value system. Just like the world out there has a value system and a culture, the kingdom of God has a value system and a culture. The way we behave ourselves, the way we carry ourselves, the way we talk. You know, in the kingdom, we speak with authority. In the kingdom, we do not move by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. God, in His kingdom, it is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. It has a culture. It has a system by which we determine things. So let me tell you, if you are a manager, a leader, and anything is entrusted into your hands, the first portal through which you see things is the kingdom. You don't start looking at things, judging things on the basis that, okay, so this one, we have to use economic principles and all. That is why our nations are failing. With all the economics we have you seen what has happened when Corona hit? Oil went to zero. In fact, I was reading an article and it said that one stock trader, after buying so much of oil, was informed that he owes, is it $9 trillion or $9 billion? Because oil prices have crashed. Ridiculous. It was so cheap that you could be asked to come and take the oil and go free. That is the nature of what happened. With all the economic theories we have, everything crumbled and crashed. The kingdom has a value system and a culture. It has a financing system. The Bible clearly speaks that do not charge your neighbor usury. And I mentioned in about three weeks ago, that somebody must be provoked to start a banking system that defeats the world system of banking. The kingdom of God has something I call the health economy. It has its own health economy. We live by faith, we touch the power of God, and we are healed. This evening, I want you to move into certain things in God. Touch the wisdom of God. Touch the power of God. Reach out consistently to touch that health economy of God. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, it says that, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing balm in Gilead? For why have they healed my daughter's ailment slightly? We must come to that point where we are tired of partial miracles, partial healings, and we begin to step into full-blown healing economy of God. The kingdom of God has an economy, cash, l'argent, kudi, ega, money. The kingdom has a system of economics. It's about time we move from the world economic practices into kingdom economics. The kingdom of God has laws, commandments, and decrees. How many of us know in the New Testament that Jesus Christ gave command? When you read the book of John, 1 John, the Bible actually speaks about commands in the New Testament. A friend of mine counted and canceled out, he got about 72 commands that are in the New Testament from Matthew through the book of Revelation. Commands, specific commands to us. So it is not a place to live for yourself. If you read John 14, the verse 15, it's a good reference. You can find something about that. It says, if you love me, you keep my commandment. That's the New Testament. And so it's about grace. No, that type of teaching, it's not biblical. That type of teaching, it is not kingdom. It is all about grace. So we live anyhow. No, it says we live by command. He says, you love me, keep my command. 1 John chapter 5, the verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, the verse 4. Matthew chapter 11, the verse 30. 2 John, the verse 6. It's just one chapter, the verse 6. So the kingdom of God has laws, has commandments, and has decrees. For example, you come into this situation and all you have to do is to enforce the decree of the Lord. He has a way it operates. Right from Genesis, God began to speak. When man woke up and opened his eyes, he saw God talking to him. That is a very specific place we need to live and put forth decrees. What God has spoken, which is final. The kingdom of God has an army and a system of safety. I love this. And I'll read a scripture to you. The kingdom of God has an army and a system of safety. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the verse 45. 1 Samuel 17, the verse 45. And Matthew chapter 26. Let me read Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, the verse 53. Jesus. said something in Matthew chapter 26, the verse 53. He says that they came to arrest him. And you remember the story, he asked, whom are you looking for? And everybody fell to the ground and all. So in the verse 53 said, then Peter pulled out his sword and cut somebody's ear. So the verse 53, Jesus asked, he said, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than, just read it. When the Bible talks about 10,000s upon 10,000s, and the Bible talks about more than, it is speaking in a context in which you cannot measure. It says, don't you think that even now as we speak, not tomorrow, even now as we speak, I can pray to my Father and he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. More than 12 legions of angels. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 19, the verse 13 through 14, you see the Bible talks about the armies of heaven follows after Christ. They go after him. The revelation is this. The kingdom of God has an army and a system of protection and defense and safety, which we must walk in. Some of us, like somebody said, you live too afraid. You are afraid of tomorrow. You are afraid of everything around you. You are afraid of demons. You are afraid of demonic powers. You are afraid because somebody has released a curse and all. Jesus said, don't you know that even now I can ask for more than 12 legions? One legion is made up of 1,000 foot soldiers and I think 670 something archers, those who shoot arrow. One legion, and Jesus says more than 12. 12 is a number of completeness, is government, is perfection. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that I can ask for an innumerable company of angels. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that you have come to for you have not come to the mountain like in the Old Testament that burns with smoke, that you cannot touch, that even if an animal runs through it, it would be judged. But he said, for you have come to Mount Zion, to the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ, into the company of an innumerable number of angels, into the place where where the spirit of justified men are made perfect. This is where you stand. This is where I stand. The kingdom of God has a system of safety. What Jesus is saying is that the righteous, like Psalmist says, he says the angels of the Lord encamp around the righteous. He didn't say two angels, five angels, he said the angels of the Lord. So when you go to bed and sleep soundly and sleep safely. And when you rise and you engage in your warfare and you go about your activities in this earth, know that at any moment you can ask for more than. Jesus Christ is a definition of man. If you want to define who is man and how man ought to live, Jesus is the beginning. And he tells you that as a man as he was and he walked through the earth, you can call on more than 12 legions, perfection, excellence. Now, if you begin to do the mathematics, I don't have time to really teach this. If you begin to do the mathematics of the strength and the capacity of one angel, the Bible describes the strength and compares it to the nature and the strength of stars. Science tells us that one star also is bigger than the whole earth. So you do your comparison and do your statistics, you begin to see that what you have on your side in the kingdom is much more. So it is better you run into the kingdom and you practice everything kingdom and you give your heart to kingdom. The kingdom of God has its own teaching and educational system. It has its own teaching and educational system. Let me give you some background. How many of us have read in the Bible says that the child that describing Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah, the child shall eat milk and curds, and he shall discern between. Now the Jews have a system of education that is very different from the system that we have, where we go to a classroom to converge to learn. The Jewish system of learning is that you come to a man to learn. You come to a man to learn. That is why there are systems called the rabbi and rabboni, master teacher, master, and all. Now, when a child is born from age zero, when the child begins to talk and understand and interact, the Jews take their children to Belcipher. It's a school called Belcipher. In Belcipher, you'll at least learn the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. I think that's what it's called, the Torah. You learn the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Then, when the child graduates, I think age six or seven, the child is moved to go to Bel Talmud. So from Bel Cipher to Bel Talmud. And Bel Talmud, that is where you hear them sing, your word is to me like honey. And what they do is that they actually write the word on a slate. And they pour the honey on the slate. And this child, as he's reciting, he licks up that honey on the slate to inculcate that nature and that passion and that understanding of the word of God. Look, the kingdom of God has its own educational system. And if you're an educationist on this broadcast, and you're an educationist listening to this teaching now, you have to fully begin to think deeply. How do we educate our children and raise their capacity to compete in this world and to bring the purpose of God to bear? We need to begin to think deeply. For example, in Sweden, Finland, and the rest, the educational system is far different from the way we teach here. You know, our educational system, they tell us, elephant, dog, snake, everybody, climb a tree. How can an elephant climb a tree? You pull the tree down. But the Swedish system, for example, right from a very tender age, they study you and they begin to define you. So it is not every subject you study. It's not every subject. They give you life. They are trying to reach out to a system of existence. That is why some people can attend school, and after all of that, knowledge is not every knowledge that is bad, but after all of that, they feel irrelevant, they feel empty, and they come to the point of searching. The issue of identity crisis, knowing your purpose, is one of the biggest problems in the earth today. Men who are not doctors but practicing medicine. Men who are not lawyers, military men but practicing law and in military. Some have just venoms in their head in military. I just want to go to military. Like one of my boys in church, he said his plan was to go to military and come back and kill everybody who has hurt him. And the mother stepped down and said, no way, you will not go to military. Because you don't have a good heart. So the kingdom of God has an agricultural system. It is time to move from... Look at the food we eat. I think everybody should start growing some garden. If you have the space behind your house, grow a garden. Grow organic thing. I watched a video yesterday of a gentleman. For 1 year, he ate and drank water and everything from his own backyard. He left the field open for even his neighbors to come and eat, take food from. He caught grass cutters from his own farm because his farm began to attract all these things. And he prepared food. He drank from the rain. He said for that 1 year, he felt better and healthy. I watched his video, his photo, when he was starting the farm and pursuing this adventure, and thereafter he looks very different. A lot of chemicals in our food. So if you have an opportunity to become an agri minister, don't go and bring genetic things into this country. You must be one of the people who say, look, I stand on my foot, I stand on my grounds to embrace the fact that genetically modified produce must not come into this system. You have to fight. You have to put in policies.
that will encourage us to grow things. You have to put together a thinking farm. If I say a thinking farm, a group of people can sit down and say, how do we ensure that we have high yield, good yields on our farms without adding chemicals? And you have to do something. If you ever have that opportunity to impact the agri minister, these are some of the conversations you should be having with government. These are some of the conversations we should be having with government.
I said it somewhere, I don't know if it was this broadcast, that Thabo Mbeki, during his time, invited pastors and archbishops and all to come and have conversation with him and make an input into policies in building South Africa. Some years back, after about two hours of interaction, Thabo left the place and concluded that the church is a stupid entity. Look at what is going on the landscape of Ghana. Have you observed the level of competition? Because we have gone online, have you observed the level of competition? The level of competition. Look, I have these pastor friends who are not like my bosom friends, connected. They have some kind of weird philosophies on Facebook. And they have teachings like feet washing and the rest. And I don't agree with that. I've not seen it in the Bible. If you see the level of tagging on Facebook, they will have to tag me. I won't tag myself. If Pastor Ray tags me on Facebook, I am happy, because he's a man who is dignified and he has solid doctrine. But some of these guys, they are just tagging you so that they can pull along the people that are connected in your network. Because they believe that the current selling badge is prophetic. If you are called prophet, you are the latest, hottest, you are the in thing in town. The level of competition that is currently online, everybody is fighting for your mind and the space in your head. How do we live in this environment, kingdom people? We have to shift to the kingdom. We have to begin to slow down in divine steps, or slow down to the speed of divine steps. Let me put it this way. Slow down to the speed of divine steps. Keep in step with the Spirit. Bible says that if we are in the Spirit, let also keep in step with the Spirit. It is a practical living. Sit back, ask questions. The department you occupy, what can I do from that department to change the face of this country? To bring the kingdom of God into that place. Pastor, church leader, business leader, what can I do? You don't provide one solution and create 10 problems. The kingdom is a solution for all the stupidity and the religious craziness that is ongoing in this country. Hear the stories of these fake prophets being exposed all over the place. The killings, the destruction. It makes the church unattractive. After 2 hours of interaction, Thabo Mbeki left and said, there's nothing to write home about these guys. It is possible they weren't speaking in tongues. No strategy. No plan. We need to do something. Characteristics of a kingdom. Nah, let me do some 10 minutes and end it. Characteristics of a kingdom. We've heard this before. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It says the kingdom cannot be shaken. If you build your confidence on the world system, my investment in treasury bills and this, my house here. They went breaking houses in, what's the name of the place? Jamestown, I heard yesterday or so, or something. Question is, can you imagine somebody who has put his last? I'm not too sure if the people were informed and they even have made a provision for them. You can't build your confidence on the world system. I said on this broadcast that in the world system, people are killed. They don't die. People are killed. They don't die. It has now emerged that the AIDS virus was actually designed in a lab and put through vaccines against blacks. Ebola was also a virus design.
Human beings are killed, they don't die. In China, people work like 10 hours straight. Communist regime. They say, as for me, I'm a communist. No, kingdom people behave differently. They take interest in every aspect of people's life. So go and look at, if you like, do a research on the level of suicide rates in China. Compare to other parts of the world, you'll be sure. People work in this Asian region. People work to the extent that they become tired and frustrated and they just throw themselves over a height and they kill themselves. If you are building a policy that impacts the earth, kingdom people must do it differently. The kingdom cannot be shaken. Therefore, every policy and principle we put into life, it makes the kingdom solid. It makes the kingdom solid. The kingdom of God, I've said it already, is built inside the heart of man. Luke chapter 17, 21. Jesus said, nor will they say, see here or there. Another Jesus Christ have appeared here. Oh, another move of God. What is the latest move of God? What is God doing now? What is this in thing? What is trending? And so you see believers, I mean educated believers, very educated, will go and sit under some small boy. Will go and sit under some small boy who would say, lick my fingers. My wife and I, we went to a meeting some years back, and this prophet, I'll tell you, my wife said, Mark, don't ever do that. This prophet said he was ministering to this woman. And you know what he did? He prayed in some interesting tongues. I think I shared this maybe at your end. And when he finished, he spat into the woman's mouth. My God! My wife said, Mark, don't ever do that. I said, yes, madam. I will not do that. So they said, this move is here. This man of God is here. This, and then we are swimming after it without discernment. And you can literally see that we are not built upon the kingdom, but we are built on, oh, what is this man of God saying? What is the latest in town? How cozy is it for me? How does it fit in for me and my boyfriend and my husband? But not the kingdom. The kingdom is built into the hearts of men. It's not out there. It's not out there. The kingdom, listen to this, is boundless and immeasurable. The kingdom is boundless and immeasurable. I need to wrap up. Isaiah chapter 9, the verse 7. Of the increase of his government, of the increase and of his government and peace, there will be no end. The kingdom is boundless and immeasurable. And when you touch the kingdom, I think yesterday I shared some things on my Facebook wall. I said, when you touch the kingdom, relationship begin to expand. If you are truly born again and you've touched the kingdom, your attitude in relationship towards one another changes. The way you relate to other human beings changes. Your wife changes. Your environment changes. Your children changes. The kingdom of God is an everlasting, full of dominion, ever expanding in influence and taking territories. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, listen to this, is, I think I said this last week and I'm repeating it here in this particular, it's one dynamic, coherent state of existence of life that does not inform duplistic living. We talked about that last week, so I just will skip it. Another aspect of the kingdom, the characteristics of the kingdom, is that it is characterized and revealed or evidenced by power. It is characterized and revealed in power. Some of us, the fire is gone because of Corona. No longer anointed. We are only alive. One of my church members called me. She is not a regular church member. Pastor Ray, listen to this, Otio. Listen to this. Leaders, listen to this. She's not a regular church member. I even have to beg, lie on the floor before she'll come to church once. I have to threaten that I'll come to your house and make noise before she comes to church. And during this corona season, she calls me and says, Pastor, you know, where we meet is a very good place. We just have to observe all the social distancing rules. And let's have church service. Let's have church service. I said, look at this girl. She wants to put me into trouble. Oh. She wants me to go to jail. If some people who knows me that I've gone to do church during corona season banned and then I was arrested, they would say I'm stupid. They thought I'm very intelligent. She will not come to church. But during corona, her fire, she told me, she sent me a message. She said, Pastor, my prayer life is gone. Meanwhile, a week before, I had asked her, I said, how are you doing prayerfully? How are you doing in the word of God? Follow the live broadcast. Follow the prayer times. Right now, we have a Zoom prayer time coming up. Some of them will not show up. And the same I know applies in this same house. They will fix a prayer time maybe on conference. You will not show up. Relax. Oh, life is cozy. But it is one of the means we can fellowship. Let's pull together. Let's pull together. Let's pull together. The kingdom is characterized in power. And there are almost about seven or eight words or six words. Let me see. Yes. About seven words for power. But the only one I will touch on is the dunamis. Because I need to wrap up. I need to just bring this long conversation to an end. There is more to say about the kingdom. The kingdom is here. I just want to... this is not the end of the introduction, but at least from this, we can invoke a conversation, begin to ask ourselves questions. What have I believed in? Because if I start talking to you about the kingdom is here, discovering the purpose of the kingdom of God, the kingdom is here, discovering man's purpose inside the kingdom. Who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? Where am I going to? Then you realize that fundamentally something is missing. Let's talk about dunamis power. Dunamis is the Greek word, and dunamis means strength, power, ability. Dunamis speaks of inherent power. So you who is sitting there is an inherent power. Power residing inside you. It is called virtue. It is power by your nature. There are some things you can do better than I can do. There are things you can do better than I can do. That is an inherent power. It's giftedness that God has placed in your life. That word dunamis also means power for performing miracles. So you see the meaning of the word power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. It means that your ability, when you become born again, you come to church, that is not when you lose your head. Many people became born again, very intelligent, sharp in the economics environment, the finance environment, and medicine environment. When they came to church, they became stupid and not like Living Streams Church. When they went to some of those places where they are doing shoe direction, skirt direction, water direction, they sell you oil, talk to me at once by force, marry me by force, you will follow me and chase me and marry me. All kinds of foolish things. And I sat back in every private moment of my life, I asked myself, I said, from where comes all this spirit of direction, prophetic action? We have been plagued by idolatry and paganism and psychic practices. Yasuma bosuma into your home toying. Yeah, you're born again. Yes, sir. You chiba Jesus Christ. Was it Jimasemudi? My infallible word, my unadulterated word. Embrace it. Apply the word. Quote it. Speak it. Just behave like me, God. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And God looked and said, what? Let there be light. And there was light. And God began to command and speak. Just begin to speak my word. Went into the situation, what happens to this believer? This believer said, no, I want the shortest route to life. And most of the time, some shortcut leads to dead end. Some have lost their wife. Ejomu businesses, Omu cars. There used to be a very prominent man in this country. He was an expert, a Ghanaian. He's called Nana, who lived in America. And the government, when we were about Y2K, he's one of the guys who supported American government in going through Y2K, a Ghanaian. He was in my former church. Where my former church, if you hear me talk and operate prophetic, at least you can see the kind of seed that is at work in me. This church was one of the solid churches on the land. But look at this guy. He went following this kind of prophet. They took his cars and everything. I don't know where he is now. I've seen people give all kinds of foolish directions. God wants you to walk in his power. He said the kingdom is inside you. If the kingdom is inside you, then it has a characteristic that is called power. And therefore that power must live inside you and be made manifest and is inherent power. That power is power for performing miracles. That power is also described as the miracle in itself. The miracle in itself. So you yourself, myself, we ought to be miracles walking down the town. Ha! Obidin is sato so on she. Come on. If something strikes you, the thing must bounce back. And say, look, this person is a strange person. There are a lot of young guys on Facebook practicing psychic practices, psychic prophecies. I saw one guy, I see the future like magic. I said, this guy is crazy. He's written a book and the book is on Amazon. God something, the God of Karma. I said, young man, which books are you exposed to? Occultic practices and secret societies? He doesn't want to answer. He comes fighting me. Look, you need to walk in the power of God. When you step into your office and you have this boss who is a devil, your power is enough. There is something I call dominion by presence. You don't, without talking, they experience power. Let's wrap up. This kingdom is in power and it speaks of moral power and excellence of soul. Have you seen those gentlemen and those women who have prayed in tongues and all they believe is power, 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 power. But afterwards, what has happened? Their moral lives, they are bankrupt. That is not completeness of the power of God. They got power to heal the sick, but messed up, confident tricksters, Azam men and Azam women. They can prophesy and they can see ditto, ditto. But it is Hunam that is at work. If you walk in the power of God, then there should be moral excellence and moral power and excellence of soul. About 2 years ago, some people misbehaved in church and left church, recruited people against me and decided to leave church. So when I had a meeting, after 2 years, I had a meeting with the members that were left and I needed to explain something to them. I asked them straight, I said, you who is sitting here, you the lady sitting in front of my wife, I said, tell me, which of you have I come to chase? You who is sitting here, which of you have I asked you put money in envelope and come and I'll do direction for you? But when you see this church members, Pastor Ray, please permit me, sorry if I'm stepping on people's foot, but you see church members, sometimes you don't understand. Your pastor is there. I'll not come and beg and I'll ask. He's going through a lot, but even in the midst of that, he comes to preach to you. He tells you some of his challenges, and the next week he comes back to report a miracle that God stepped in. The miracles are flowing beyond the walls of your house. The people in the house are not contributing to the miracle, but it's coming from men and women, God touching men from all over the place to bring this miracle. These same people will carry. Look, there's a young man who was in my church. Good young man with great future. Suddenly, one of these false guys came from Kumasi. There's a popular place called Subin Valley in Committee 7. And that when they come, I don't know who that is, the only place they like going because there is a facility that they can rent. He said, God has asked me to come and do church here, and I feel that come and join me and let me work with you. He took his workers there, and the man started. The man gave them Coke direction, Fanta direction, go and buy salt, go and buy Gary, go and buy sugar. What are we doing? Is it now? Is that not Gary soaking? That guy is hungry. And sometimes they give you directions, soak the Gary, mix it with milk and everything, and smear all over your body and sleep in the night. Abba! How can an educated person who has gone to polytechnic, university, you can rest your brain in this way? How? And this boy went doing all those directions. His business started collapsing. He started accusing me that I don't pray for him and all of that. He forgot. He forgot. The kingdom of God must be characterized by moral power and excellence of soul. You cannot be anointed hot, but you lack moral capacity. The devils will work with you. Familiar spirits will work with you. Particularly if you are a prophetic person. You're sleeping around. Oh, Jesus. The next thing is that a familiar spirit will start using you. And you'll be hot cake in the realm of the spirit to be used by devils. Power also speaks of... power and influence belonging to riches and wealth. God wants us wealthy. When the Bible says the kingdom of God is in power, just say, sika, money talks, cash talks. It's a defense. But yeah, for shortcut, enya, yebefa kwan pasu enya. And I want to believe God this evening that God will invade you financially. We need to walk in wealth. The kingdom of God consists of power, and it is power and resources arising from numbers. Pastor Ray, our churches need to grow. The online meeting, the numbers need to grow. Both the private ones like this and the public one we do Facebook Live, they must grow. It must grow. It must expand. We must have numbers. The numbers should not be sitting with these, some of these crazy guys who just use magic and tricks to deceive people. And it is, in fact, what many people want. You see a good, educated lawyer sitting somewhere where they are doing pant direction. I can never understand this. It shows you that education and the kingdom knowledge, they are not the same thing. You must redeem yourself. Some of us have 10 prophets. We have prophets that do this miracle, then that miracle, and that miracle, and that miracle, and that miracle. And we see our pastor not to be powerful enough. And so, you see, a pastor, the own vision, you know, what the other. In soon, one covering now, the protector. The kingdom of God is in power. It is power resting upon an army and the force and the host of heaven. Let me wrap up in 2 minutes. There's so much I can say, but let me wrap up. Let me wrap up. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 28, the verse 18, very beautiful scripture. He says, Vic, go. He says, Theo, go. Mark, go. For all power in heaven and on earth, I have it with me. On the basis of this, go. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and they were created. Oh, Jesus, let me stop here. We will continue another time. And maybe turn your Bible to, let me end it. Read this scripture with me. Read this scripture with me. Luke chapter 22, the verse 39, the verse 39 and the verse 40. Luke chapter 22, the verses 39 and 40. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious, higher lifted up. Jesus Christ
on the throne. So Luke chapter 22, 39, 40. Coming out. Let me be sure. I'm 22. Okay. So coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, and he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. No, I think I missed my scripture up. Look. The scripture I'm looking for, it says that, for my Father has bestowed a kingdom on me, and the same kingdom I bestowed on you, I give to you. I miss it, but I can find it and share it. As my Father has given me the kingdom, the same kingdom I give to you. I want to stop here. Maybe one or two questions this evening, and then we pray shortly. God bless you. Amen. Amen. So if anybody have any question. It is Luke 22, 29. Not 39, it's 29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestow one upon me. The verse 30, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So you see, the point is that Jesus Christ came with nothing apart from the kingdom. And when Jesus Christ was leaving, he left the kingdom with us. You cannot embrace any other thing. Religion will not save you. Okay, religion will not save you. I had a situation where a lady came to our meeting. I prophesied powerfully, exposed all kinds of debt, how she was experiencing severe heart palpitation. 26-year-old, a psychiatric nurse. She came all the way from Kumasi Mampong. Do you know that after all this great ministration, exposing the root of the matter and all, do you know that? When the girl was leaving, she said, Pastor, what will you give to me to take along? I'm like, Jehovah is Lord. I have nothing to give to you but the word of God. She's healed today and she's alive. Severe heart palpitation. I told her, I said, your heart is swollen and all kinds of things. So, my dear, let's step into the kingdom. God bless you. So